No, welcome to Hacking 101.
Test.
Cool, it does work. Okay.
Hello.
I can just yell. Yeah, if you want to. All right. How do we usually start these things? This is the first time I've done it so far.
We start them? They just normally go rolling.
Yeah, normally this is it. This is the way we start.
All right. No, that's for tomorrow night. All right, we'll give you a preview for Hacking 201 tomorrow night. If you ask a good question, we toss you something nice and yummy. If you ask a stupid question, we throw something really disgusting at you overhand.
He gets to hug you.
Tomorrow night, alcohol's involved. What? Okay.
We're relevant because we're willing to sit up here.
Come and collect a piece of jerky for a jerky question.
Let me explain social engineering. All right, I'll take that one. Let me explain first here the concept of social engineering and how I've always been invited to this convention, never had to pay a damn cent for it. Thank you very much. That's why I'm relevant to this panel. I'm Johnny X.
I thought it was because we felt sorry for you.
Nope.
That's why I'm here.
It's one and the same.
I'm here because I enjoy the abuse.
You can't get better abuse than this place.
Yes, you can. Fantastic.
Oh, we're just the acolytes of the Pope here. So, I mean, that's what gets us here.
Kind of abuse.
Oh,
I thought this was a Sharpieholics Anonymous meeting.
All right, hands up and keep them up here. Who's seen War Games?
Of it on DVD.
I may not even have to go any further than this. All right, keep them up. Who's seen Sneakers? Who's seen Hackers and is willing to admit it?
The Net?
Swordfish? What other popular ones?
Anybody turned them into a drinking game?
Has anyone gotten through the Hackers drinking game and not passed out? Antitrust? All right.
Oh.
Jumpin' Jack Flash, Whoopi Goldberg.
They're all crap! Every single one of them. All right, some of them are entertaining, but factually they're bullshit. And we're here to dispel some of the bullshit and some of the bad information that the liberal mainstream media, to cop a phrase, has been spreading about us, I guess, pretty much since War Games came out in 84.
What's this Wii stuff keep us up?
I mean, what the hell are you doing up here?
I don't know. Am I in the right panel?
Yeah, the Hacking 101. We're the ones most likely to be arrested first because we're the public figures down here, I guess.
Ah.
Or at least the ones that are willing to admit to it. Let's ask a question and get this started. Come on, someone give me a question. Anyone. Right there.
And for the questions, please wait for the microphone. Because this has been recorded, and we can't hear anything on the playbacks when it's online. If all you have is just the answers, it sounds really, really stupid.
Are you going to teach us how to hack?
RTFM.
No. We'll get you an axe.
That's actually not a good question, but a common one. So
yeah.
I'll play the foil.
Can you be more specific? How about that?
Teach me art to hack.
No. Don't make me resort.
Hand me one of those jerkies down here. He gets one upside the head.
I'll play the foil.
Are all hackers bad people?
No. So what do you think a hacker is? Come on, someone.
Speak up.
All right, liberator of information. I kind of like that one. You think that who here thinks that hackers are these evil bad people who are going to steal your credit cards and reroute phone lines and start World War III off their Commodore 64? Okay.
Oh, it's an apple.
You missed it. We've already had World War III. We're on World War IV.
Whatever. There's always going to be an apple.
I have a question, guys. Is this panel going to be a discussion of the definition of hacker that you guys are laying forth, as opposed to how the mainstream media and the rest of the
world... Dear God, I hope not.
I mean, is that what it's going to be for the next hour?
Kind of, sort of, vaguely, maybe, unless we get sidetracked and go off on something else and a bunch of us all keep talking at the same time. That's kind of how it tends to go. Like I said, this is new territory for me. This is the first year I've done this completely sober and not hallucinating, so, yeah. This is new experience for me.
You know what that feels like?
Your keyboard is melting.
Let's take that in.
So why do you do what you do? As far as why do you try and find the insecurities that are out there? Everybody in the industry knows they're out there. They've been out there for forever. Are you guys actually trying to change anything? Or are you bored just looking to do damage?
Dude, the industry knows that they exist. It's up to us to actually expose them so that people can know of the vulnerabilities.
And you said it's just limited to computers, man.
Yeah.
Hacking is hacking any system.
Yeah, I try and keep out people from accessing $500 million worth of financial money for the credit union I work at. So a lot of people get mad if their money starts disappearing.
A lot of what we're trying to do is educate the public. There are many, many stupid things that have happened fairly recently. The DMCA, RIAA, just a few weeks ago decided that they were going to sue all the backbone service providers, UUNet, AT&T, all those guys are being sued by the RIAA for allowing traffic from Japan that was serving MP3s. I mean, there's a bunch of just stupid stuff happening, and we're trying to educate both you guys and, you know, our senators and congressmen as to what's going on and that this stuff is really dumb and it needs to change.
And if they won't listen, then we'll start World War III.
Hey, guys. Thank you for coming. I work in the hosting industry. And just for a point of reference, straight out of your mouth, if I can give somebody an operating system that I think is most comfortable for them, even though I know if you guys want in, you're going to get in, just what are you going to put on the box from your mouth?
DOS 3.1.
Bob.
Is that it?
Talking of religious wars.
CPM. CPM, if you can get that to network, talk to me.
I'm partial to Microsoft Bob myself.
Lindos from Walmart.com.
Let's go back with a little bit of history real quick. The reason a lot of this stuff started, you can trace it pretty much back to back to MIT back in the 1950s. There weren't many computers back then, and they tended to be very large machines about the size of this room, and IBM was about the only place that made them, and you had your IBM engineers or acolytes or priests, rather, as they were referred to, who wouldn't let anyone near the box, and of course, being curious MIT students, they wanted to play with the frickin' computer. So what did they do? They did what any enterprising college student would do. They broke into the lab at night and played with the computer. Now, it's not as bad as it sounds originally because they had respect for the machine. They just wanted to learn. And there was this big, gargantuan, complicated thing to play with.
Speak for yourself.
Okay, you can contradict me afterwards. There was this big, gargantuan thing here to play with. Take that how you will. And they got in, they played with the machine, they figured out how to do things with it the IBM guys didn't know how to do. That's pretty much hacking back in the 1950s. You start playing with the phone system, too, especially in the 60s. You get blue boxing, all sorts of free phone calls. Freaking is born then. There's a lot of political activism involved with it in the time, too. And the PC revolution, when everyone begins to get computers and no longer these giant machines, you've got all this stuff, fun stuff to play with. I'm not sure what my point is or where I was going with it. What was the original question?
Are you taking Rattle's place?
No, I need caffeine. But hacking was about non-destructively learning and exploring, figuring out how stuff works. I mean, keep in mind, before Mob L broke up, yeah, it was illegal to know the frequencies that generated touch tones. And nowadays, anyone who wants to get online, anyone who wants to get cheap computer equipment, anyone who wants to build their own PBX to play and experiment with can, but a lot of the original reason for hacking was because you just didn't have access to this stuff unless you kind of gave yourself access to it.
The original question, Johnny X, was what operating system do you consider is most secure?
Oh, okay. I don't remember that question.
I think we have another jerky candidate.
Go ahead.
Gentleman up here.
He's got the mic.
Okay, I had a question regarding something that she said, that hacking of systems isn't necessarily of computers, but all systems. And it reminded me of an issue that I had heard of, but didn't necessarily believe at first, but wanted to ask a panel of educated people about. I've heard of something called... I'm sorry?
A panel of educated people who are...
Of experts,
who,
professionals, if you will.
we'll
give it a try.
Okay, I'm sure I'm straying outside of the arena here with psychology, but I'm sure that some people here are familiar with the 100 monkey theory, and that as a
work
group,
with them every day.
Sure. As a group of primates are able to assimilate a body of knowledge, others within that group, though they may not have specifically learned that specific information, they actually pick up that knowledge through a non-visible form of transmission. This is also true for humans, as done by a study that was aired on the British Broadcasting Network in conjunction with an Australian channel at the same time. But my question is, what do you all know of hacking said networks, since there's evidence that those networks actually exist, invisible connections between, well, specifically higher primates and even humans, then what are you all familiar with efforts to actually access those networks and even, in some cases, control those networks?
I'm not a psychologist, but I think that's called politics, and hacking it is called Congress and lobbyists.
No. Congress is hacking it up.
I didn't say for good.
Psychic Hackers Network.
Yes, the Psychic Hackers Network forms over there.
No, basically, I think what he's saying is it's education is what we actually are trying for more than anything else. Like Hugmy said earlier, there's a lot of really, really, really stupid and very dangerous stuff that's going down right now. And a lot of people in the mainstream society are so willing to give up some of the most hard-fought rights that we have just for some ethereal belief that there may be some security out of it. And those of us in the know with any, you know, half a brain going, there is no security. And those rights are very, very, lots of people died for them. They're very hard fought. They're very precious. And we need to educate the public on, you know, if they're taking it here from us dangerous hackers, they're also taking it from, you know, Mr. and Mrs. Joe America.
Coming back to his original point, there's something very interesting about hacking as a culture, in the sense that you're right, a lot of it is oral tradition, and it looks a lot of the time like knowledge is moving around like Dawkins memes without any possible means of official communication. But as a culture, it's related to a whole bunch of other things, and we're fortunate we've got somebody here who actually does know a little bit about this and has studied it, Lothar. I want to comment on that sort of aspect of the samizdat.
What about the education of hackers?
Yeah, and how it happens as a culture, these sort of oral traditions.
Well, usually what happens is people usually misrepresent hacking as a very solitary activity. In fact, it's a very collective activity. We couldn't have gotten anything like Linux or FreeBSD if it wasn't for close collaboration among not just academics and professionals, but also among amateur computer programmers. Without this force, knowledge couldn't be shared, new insights couldn't be gained, and really we wouldn't have the community that we do now. And from that, not only do people get educated about what it means to program, but also what it means to be a citizen at the same time. And to be a part of this community is really to be a teacher and a student in one. And from that, it's to be a politically motivated, charged citizen who can find ways to not only hack computers, but hack the political system.
Hello. Speaking to the question earlier, you know, we don't want to go down the path of what is a hacker, but there are a lot of definitions, and a lot of people will disagree about what makes a hacker a hacker. So it's kind of hard to say, why do you do what you do when you can't define what you do?
And a lot of viewpoints, Galileo was a hacker.
Knowing that the media hasn't really gotten things right, there is, of course, growing hysteria in this tend of a field. And with everything also going on in world culture right now, there's growing hysteria.
Here for Randall's talk?
What I just want each of you to touch on is the people who are not dangerous. The people who are doing this for exploration, for knowledge, to teach others, to try to get the information dispersed, can you talk about protecting yourself from the overzealous populace through the law agencies that are looking for any chink to sufficiently overreact to something that is, in fact, at times harmless? What I'm looking for is your comments on how can somebody who is doing this protect themselves or know what things they can do to protect themselves?
Well, the best thing you can do is look at your state laws about hacking and also federal law related to it. Really, as if you were you here with the Randall Schwartz talk earlier?
Never, ever call what you're doing hacking.
Yeah. Yes, first rule.
Second point is, if you see people approaching with pitchforks and lighted torches, generally it's considered prudent to run fast in the opposite direction.
But from what you were discussing, were you talking about how police might mistake, say, hackers would say hacktivists, for instance? Okay, so really that police might be might say, hey, we have to go after these dangerous hacktivists or even script kiddies or whatever, so, but at the same time we'll use this as an excuse to go after legitimate programmers. Got me. Not just kidding.
Lots of documentation. Cover your ass in every situation. Duplicate, triplicate. Blind carbon copy yourself, blind carbon copy your friends, all of your email addresses that you have. That way you've got that documentation everywhere.
Like he said, know your laws, because every state has a different set. But also know the federal.
And pay attention to what your company's asking you to do. Case in point, I had one of the companies I worked for had asked me to do some security scans for their WAN set segment on the other end of our...
Get that in writing.
And I said, I want it in writing. And they pushed for about 2 weeks going, when are you going to get the scan done? I said, when are you going to give me the writing? And they never did give me the writing, and they never got their scan. So,
if you're interested in computer and network security, like doing this professionally, meet the people in the law enforcement community around you who are involved with it as well, and kind of correct/corrupt them from within.
Johnny X actually worked with law enforcement officials for a time there. I probably learned more about how policemen operate from him than from anyone else.
That was a long time ago.
And in a galaxy far away.
He's feeling much
better.
Save
it for
now.
Hacking 201.
It's a mystery. Come get a Scooby snack. Who said that?
No, I was serious about getting involved, or at least meeting the people. Damn, James, don't kill him.
Yes, this panel is also dangerous if you don't pay attention.
I was serious about meeting and getting involved with people who do this professionally, find out who they are and get to know them on a first-name basis, know their faces, make sure they know yours. Atlanta apparently is one of the largest areas for information security in the United States, if not the world. We're supposedly second only to the New England area, and that's including New York and surrounding environments. So there's a lot of people involved with computer security here. There are courses taught at universities. There's a lot of people in the industry. Know them.
One organization actually with the FBI is NIPSI, the National Infrastructure Protection Committee, I think it is, and the local FBI groups of that that are coordinated to specific industries such as telecom, utilities, stuff like that. And even though in my personal opinion, I don't think they're really worth a whole lot, but it's not for lack of trying. A lot of it is they're trying to get it to the people who, not people like us who are in security every day and know, hey, you know, this came out of bug track 10 minutes ago. You know, they're looking at the overall manager perspective of what the hell is this? It says, like, bytecode this, that. You know, what is that supposed to mean to me for my system? It's like there's a new Windows attack of such and such a thing. This is how it happens, and this is how you protect it, and that's what they're doing.
That kind of comes back to protecting yourself, because it's scary how few people in the FBI are even barely computer literate.
Yeah.
And the more you deal with these organizations, their sort of outreach organizations, the more you find this out. But they tend to be permeated, and law enforcement tends to, in general, be permeated with an attitude of you're either with us or against us. Mm-hmm. You're either a good guy or a bad guy.
Considering how long it took the FBI to catch the guy that's been hacking themselves exactly. from the inside.
And the point to that is, you know, if you at least identify yourself to these organizations, they sort of like kind of automatically put you in the good guy category, so they will normally give you the benefit of the doubt if something happens.
I'm going to give you all a really good resource here and give you an idea of the mindset involved in a lot of the law enforcement community. This is a kind of a dated resource, but a lot of it is still unfortunately valid today. How many of y'all know who Bruce Sterling is? Science fiction author? He wrote a nonfiction book called The Hacker Crackdown.
This is Dragon Con.
Yeah, okay, well, give me a break. He wrote a nonfiction book called The Hacker Crackdown, which is available for free online. Just hit your favorite search engine and pull up the book and read it. The events happened in, 1990, I believe? And Secret Service was going in, give you an idea of how clueless they were about some of this stuff. They, in one case, they see some kid's laser printer because, hey, it was a printer, and they could pull the ribbon out and see what he had been printing on the ribbon inside the laser printer. They also got, if you haven't
read the computer ribbon, illiterate.
Yeah, they also dragged Steve Jackson Games into this, claiming that their cyberpunk role-playing game was, and this is a quote that's in the case now, it's a matter of public record, claiming their cyberpunk role-playing book was a manual for computer crime. This is real, the prosecutor said. You look in the book, you can buy bionic infrared eyes and stuff like that. And if that's real, I want to know where the hell to get that stuff,
I got some for you. Talk to me later.
Give me a pituitary gland to chew on, too, and then we'll be good. But, yeah, The Hacker Crackdown, read it. Really good book.
If I remember, that same year, the Secret Service also invaded a 2600 meeting in the Washington, D.C. area and basically said this was nothing more than a meeting place to discuss and carry out illegal activity.
I think that was a couple years afterwards, but...
1990. Oh, well.
How long have they been following the SCA? Otherwise, they know them as the Society for Creative Anarchy. Was that? Actually, I heard this from some of the higher level people up in the SCA. Mm. Yeah, it's.
Truth is relative.
Say
next
again?
Question.
Scott is a watched organization. I'm a member.
Right. Well, I mean, even if that part of it was supposedly a myth, think about it. You've got a large organization that goes out in the woods or out, they know how to manufacture armor, weapons, survive on their own without the modern necessity. Yes.
Yeah. Sound like terrorists
so,
to me.
So you're automatically going
to
be
researched.
Who are
the first people you have to worry about if the balloon goes up? The people that can take over without the necessities of power.
I know. I'm still going to be voting on the people Being with the watched. Tanks,
Just as
and
a
when there's no fuel?
Okay. As a quick poll, how many of you do you think could live for a week without power?
I can't try an hour.
Wait, there's some
if you could call it living.
Not up. What's up with that?
As an example, that was, 3/4 of people? So basically a quarter of you would probably be dead at the end of the week. SCA is great.
Yeah, all of
depends
California.
On how many guns you have.
You have power.
I wanted to ask y'all, you think that the hacker, kind of the hacker archetype, will ever make the leap from kind of anti-hero to hero in kind of collective conscious and, Hollywood mythos? Is that a
one? Talk into the microphone, please.
Sorry. Choke up on the mic.
I want to know if you think the idea of the hacker will ever make the leap from anti-hero to hero and just how it's considered in mass culture and in Hollywood.
If we can't get people to spread the information, it'll never make it, but that's what these meetings are for.
I thought that, the guys in sneakers seem to be, kind of like good guy heroes, the hacker dudes. There you go. I think, Hollywood's bullshit. It's make-believe, I mean, they'll use the hacker image or stereotype for whatever they want, whether it's good or bad.
I'll believe it when I see the movie about a bunch of good guy hackers taking on the MPAA.
Stick around for Freedom Downtime after this panel.
I just wanted to. I think it really has been changing. I mean, you think about, Revenge of the Nerds in the 1980s and things like that. That there was a definite separation between, you know, guys who used computers all the time and everybody else who didn't. And now that because a lot of it's because of the internet and because everybody's online now, that's melding and that's becoming more and more the mainstream of everybody's using computers all the time and everybody's doing this. And I think it really has in the past couple of decades changed a lot.
That's what I don't think those stupid politicians realize, that these are the people that are coming of age and are going to be voting very
Most
shortly.
Most of the stupid politicians are about 90.
Exactly.
Yeah, Strom Thurmond finally gone. Yes.
And.
Or at least they retired the animatronic.
Hey. Well, at least he's better than Hitler-y.
Wag the dog, man.
There's kind of a double-edged sword, though, with more people coming online, because it depends on what they do while they're online. A lot of them don't escape AOL, for instance, and just think that's the internet.
Deny, or slash deny space, start out on AOL.com.
But to answer back to that question, if you look through a lot of the, like a lot of us had to during this economy in the last year, go through a lot of the online searches for job postings that are out there. 3 years ago, it was almost impossible to find a posting that made any sense about technology, for one, and two, actually ever mentioned the word hacker. I ran across quite a few of them over the last year. So some corporations are starting to understand that if they really want somebody who knows what they're doing and they're going to pay all this money out, and they can only afford to pay one person now instead of a crew of 10, they know what they're looking for, so it's slowly changing.
Just out of curiosity, anyone out there in the audience, not up here, have their CISSP or a member of the Georgia ISSA? Anyone? No? Okay.
Any other high-level security certificate that you hold?
Willing to admit?
Up here does.
I just got the ICSA from TrueSecure. It's a relatively new exam for entry level, but
I'm a CISSP, by the way.
I just wanted to make a follow-up comment. It's a little late. I apologize for this, but one of you guys made the comments that get to know your local law enforcement. I have to speak from experience. If you're from the great state of South Carolina, this is the last thing you want to do unless you want SLED sticking their head in every major bodily orifice you have in alphabetical order.
I'm from deep South Georgia, and I was talking to my local GBA officers, and they, even those down south people, seem to understand and gotten more of an
Bring
education.
Donuts. They like donuts.
As a matter of fact, if there's a guy here, really tall, built guy, bald head. It goes by Mr. Severa. His real name is Dave. He's a police officer down south of Atlanta in Redneckville.
That's where I come from. Yeah. So.
I've talked to him several times about doing classes, and the police forces all over the state are begging people to come in and do classes
because
they don't have a clue, and they really want to know. They need people to go in and talk to them because it's not like they're pushing us away anymore.
They need us.
Yeah, about once a week they get something, some case to do with computers, you know, whether it's a little kid hacking on a machine or a corporation doing something wrong where they have to go in and they don't know anything. They really want to. So if
there's going to be a panel similar to what you were asking about, is it tomorrow or Monday? Alanka is doing a talk in this room about code breaking and then talking to the FBI and teaching the FBI like basic ciphers and cryptography.
Stenography, so, that's Monday at 1 with Alanka Dunan.
Thank you.
And if you're going to be talking to, you know, meeting the FBI, meeting the local police department, it might be better to find out where they hang out. They love huddle houses. They love waffle houses when they get off of work. And get to know them kind of on a nodding basis and then a friendly basis and a personal basis before you broach the subject of, you know, hacking or anything like that, especially in a very small southern town, which is where I'm from. Mm-hmm. I'm from a very small southern town. And there's no way that I could just walk up and go, hey, I'm a hacker, and not walk away without having chains on me.
Well, it's also like the question back there earlier of, you know, how do you differentiate, or will we ever become from the anti-hero to the hero? And it's just because of education, getting the people, the right people educated, and let them know the difference.
of what the anti-hero and the hero truly is between the hacker terms.
Well, even sad to say that I actually work in a academic department, which will remain nameless. But at the same, but the thing is, I'm not considered to be the computer guru of the department, and I think the height of my skill is that I can put up a server on IRC, but that's probably the most I can probably do. I can maybe do some Linux commands, but apparently because of that, every time somebody has something wrong with the machine, it's always to me that they come for some reason. And really, it took me a long time, but I think I finally got them trained at least to know the difference between hacker and cracker. So, and these are basically PhDs who have had 20 or 30 years experience who think this way.
Again, education is the key.
A lot of times it's both what you say and how you say it that makes a huge impression on how are they going to take what you're talking about, if they're going to take it positive or negative or not. Sometimes the government themselves is giving us these wonderful conversation starters with the kind of crap that they're pulling. But even people like 65-year-old grandparents are sitting there going, this is really bad. And you can start conversations about it anywhere. So it's a lot of times it's what you say, when you say it, and how you say it. But please, say it.
Okay, I will. Do any of you have any advice or recommendations on obtaining security clearance? Some of the jobs I've been looking at lately require it, governmental security clearance.
Security clearance is extremely expensive. I've been looking into companies who are willing to pay for it. Top-level security clearance can cost between $150,000 and $250,000. It's not cheap at all. You're going to have to find somebody to do it. Most of the people who are taking those jobs are ex-military, and the military will pay for that clearance. It's really hard to get a job like that if you are ex-military. I've had a couple of job offers where they were willing to pay for it, though.
It's majority of the jobs out in Hawaii, which is where I hope to end up eventually, because it's beautiful if anybody's ever been there.
Yeah, they've expensive. Got some big military bases out there.
Right,
so.
It's all military, and I haven't served a term, so I'm looking for ideas here. But
try to find a sponsor.
Yeah, get some security certificates. What you're going to have to do basically is prove to I assume you're looking at private companies who are doing work for the military. That's usually where the top secret clearance comes in. Get some certificates. You have to prove to those companies that you are going to be worth paying $250,000 for security clearance. And, yeah, you're going to need to find – CISSP is a good one. I found in getting it, it really doesn't have all that much to do about security. it has to do about documentation and knowing how to understand – the higher-ups and things like that.
Most actual official corporate security policies are just that, policies. Everything is paperwork. Everything has to be triplicate because at some point it will hit the government. The government will get involved. You can't get away from that.
One of the jobs I was looking at was at the base in New Orleans. It was for a private company. And all I would be doing all day is writing documentation, and that's it. That I told them they'd have to pay me a whole lot to sit and write documentation all day.
Yeah, I did a job at one company I worked for. I was in security area. We would have intrusions for clients. Well, the intrusions would be like a total of 40 hours. Well, the job would be a total of 2-3 months. The rest of that time is spent doing paperwork, purely paperwork, reports. Just all getting approvals,
contacts.
Before you even send packet one over to the network you're going to do an intrusion on, you've got to get at least two signatures on a statement of intent, and one of them has to be at least a vice president level or higher to even consider it. Otherwise, the FBI is going to be knocking on your door before you're even finished.
Believe me, I know that top secret security clearance is very hard to get if you're in the private sector. It really is. I mean, I've got experience just sitting and breaking code for Scientific Atlanta all day, and on top of that is CISSP, and I've had a hard time finding a company that'll pay for it.
So unless you're a high level contractor, your odds are pretty nil, I'd say.
Next question.
We have a hand.
Sorry,
Rod. I mean, anonymous person.
I'm sorry. I had a question about what you were saying earlier as far as the from the anti-hero to hero. And earlier you had mentioned that, for example, Galileo was a hacker. And I think that kind of goes back to what you were talking about earlier as a definition for what is a hacker. And it seems like some of the people on the panel seem to indicate that a hacker, in fact, is a heretic or someone who questions accepted dogma or the accepted way of things.
Anyone who goes and discovers information on their own is a hacker.
And keep in mind, Galileo was also persecuted by the Pope. Put it in perspective.
But he was willing to find out what the truth was. Yes. He was willing to dedicate his life to trying to convince other people as well that what they believed was wrong and what he had discovered was, in fact, correct. And a lot of our modern science, if not all of it, basically, has been based on his convictions on his truth that he found, supposedly. So, yeah, in that aspect, Galileo was a hacker. Hacking, and you can hack anything. Hacking systems, hacking minds. Hacking is getting into...
Hacking bureaucracy is a good pastime.
Getting into a system, whatever the system is, and finding out how it works. If you look at it that way, you can hack the education system, you can hack the political system, you can hack any system that's out there. If you get into it to figure out how it works. One of the hardest ones to hack is the political system because you've got to be on 24/7. It changes constantly. So if you want to actually follow a law through, you've got to know everybody that's being affected by it. You have to know who all the playing parties are. You have to know who's back to scratch, who wants this, who doesn't want this, how much money's being passed on the table, what companies are involved, and it changes dynamically across the board minute by minute. That's an extremely complex system.
The thing that really makes it interesting is you have to be ethical about it. That's a biggie for me. Exploring systems, figuring out how stuff works, but you got to be ethical and honest about it. I mean, you can bring back Galileo again. Yeah, damn the consequences. This is what I saw. This is what I've observed. This is what I think is going on. But I think that's what, for me anyway, that's the difference between someone who's hacking and someone who is cracking. If you're hacking, you're learning and you want to make productive changes if you see places where changes need to be made. If you're cracking, you're just out to fuck shit up, basically.
Yeah, I personally can't stand any of the anti-hacking laws that are out there. I'm sorry, that's not hacking. Those are criminal activities. There are already laws on the book for theft. There are already laws on the book for intrusion. There are already laws on the book for trespass. Just because you're sitting at a keyboard does not make it any different. We don't need any more laws for that. And they are not hacking laws. Those are just more infringements on the rights of the individual.
Unfortunately, the old adage goes, knowledge is power, and people who have power by means other than knowledge are probably most frightened by the power that comes from knowledge.
We got any legal folks out there?
Is there a lawyer in the house?
Willing to admit it?
The reason I ask is I've been poking around on the law sites, Cornell, a couple others, reading the text of the USA Patriot Act when it got passed into law. And from my reading of it, pretty much we're all still terrorists up here now, technically, officially, and in a legal sense. And I think that extends to y'all as well, too, since you are at a hacking event. So, yeah, maybe that's something to consider. Clearly, the law is unconstitutional, but I don't want to be the test case for it. I don't think anyone else out there does either.
Yeah, I wanted to be the first individual that sent up the DECSS code on the satellite and be the first intergalactic intergalactic terrorist.
Catalyst has already beaten you out. Sorry. Speaking of hacking the political system, follow it. Please, no one ever follows it. It's just there's a little tiny group of lawyers who now vote, and that's it. It's very sad.
Corporate lobbyist masters.
Yeah. We actually had a very good the recent elections did really well. We got rid of Jihad McKinney. Oh my God. Also, if did you all follow John Linder? Do you know the significance of John Linder winning the election? There's a thing going on called
primary, not election.
The primary. I'm sorry.
The fair taxation.
What they're trying to do is get rid of the IRS. They want there to be no taxes on your income. Everything will go taxes into sales tax. The tax code will be able to be read by any person. It will be 20 pages long. Right now, it's over 200,000 pages.
And it's contradictory.
Yeah. It will be 20 pages. Anybody will be able to do it. We'll get rid of the IRS, and we'll get rid of people who are in jail for tax fraud.
How many people fill out the EZ form just because you don't want to do anything else on tax day?
I let TurboTax do it.
Yeah.
It's almost a philosophic point that's worth considering on the same subject, but it's generally a characteristic of most governments through the ages that have been considered despotic or dictatorships, that you create an environment in which everybody is guilty of some violation of the law, and through selective enforcement, you target those you disagree with, and they just mysteriously disappear. Rin, what's the average number of laws that the average Joe breaks each day?
So, I had run across something about 5 years ago that said it would, just the average Joe breaks 2.6 laws every day without knowing it. These are not the speeding a little bit, I ran the stop sign, you know, the things that you're conscious of doing. It's 2.6 laws every day that Joe Blow America breaks and doesn't have a clue that what he's doing is illegal. And that was 5 years ago.
And now you have the Patriot Act, and think how much it's increased.
I still want to find the guy that made the carrying an ice cream cone in the back pocket illegal.
The United States has more of its citizens in jail than any other country in the world.
Larger percentage.
Not only that, but we build a new jail at 2 a week. There are 2 new jails that pop up in this country every week.
But I love the rationale. I love the rationale they have for that. The reason we have more people in jail is we have more jails.
And we're trying to get better roads.
This is why they don't teach logic
anymore.
So
we can get better roads.
Contrast that when, during the late 60s, we were actually building a new college or university in this country every 2 weeks. So the priorities have actually changed. But probably with this new buzz about the Office of Homeland Security, this is actually part of a larger historical trend. Every time the country has turned a bit to the right as far as trying to eliminate civil liberties, usually it's been after a war or a cataclysmic event. Here's how it usually happened. In the 1920s, shortly after World War I, when we went in and the Bolshevik Revolution, when the communists took over Russia, we got the FBI because of the worried about communism then. After World War II, shortly after when we get the Cold War, that's when we get the NSA and also the CIA. And now that we're taking another turn, it seems to less civil liberties, I guess we're getting the Office of Homeland Security. So, and how many of these agencies have now gone away because they quote unquote served their purpose? So, yeah.
I wanted to comment on something too. I don't remember what the earlier question was exactly, but in my opinion, hacking also kind of involves having a sense of humor about it. And if you can do something interesting, that's cool. But if you can do something interesting in an amusing way, that's a whole lot better. Just something I thought I would throw out there as possibly maybe generate some questions.
By the way, in case you guys missed it in the news, the IRS got turned down by both sides of Congress for bringing back lifestyle checks, but they're going to be doing them anyway starting next year.
Hey, also something. Right after September 11th, how many people out there in the audience know that banks and credit unions were voluntarily asked to report any suspicious activity, especially on Middle Eastern descendants and stuff like that?
And by voluntary, they mean if you don't do what we ask, then there's no reason why we can't suspect you.
Yeah.
Or we can fire you.
And as an example, after that law came out, some of my fellow employees thought, hey, that's a great idea. We don't want to have terrorist money in our financial institutions. Like, and just what are you being paid for to do here? We're supposed to keep this money safe, you know.
Hey, let's take a question.
Yeah, who's got the mic?
The average Joe Blow who walks in here would look at you guys and think, oh, you guys are
talking in the mic, please.
The average person probably would walk in here right now, would see this panel and think, you guys are hackers. What would you say to them that you do for a living, for fun, for a hobby, that would describe, would better define a hacker. Let them understand what that means.
I'm wearing
take this one
a dress.
One.
Yeah.
I talk a lot.
Okay, so you're hacking Fredericks.
I distribute pornography at 2 gig per second. In fact, I probably routed your last monkey spank.
So you are a hacker.
Hacker or a spanker?
As another example, I actually dance in a dance company that for ballet, jazz, modern punk, and stuff like that. And I actually hack my body in a way to push it to the limits of what your physical body can do in strength, flexibility, and movement. So that's one aspect.
I study people who watch anime for a living, basically.
I'm a gamer, and I use axes to hack bodies in video
I'm
games.
I'm getting free...
Yeah, I got another comment to add to. While you know, I may be working for a web hosting provider for a living for fun, I like to social engineer, and one of my more successful social engineering exploits was getting an award-winning radio show on WRVU National 91.1 FM, the student-operated voice of Vanderbilt University, and doing it for 7 years without actually being a student, an employee of Vanderbilt, or on the staff.
That's
and
another
how
thing
many
too.
Online religions are you a...
I'm an Oh, yeah, I collect religions, too. I'm ordained in 20...
That was 50-something.
No, 26 or 27 different mail-order ministries.
He forgets.
Collect them all. Trade them with your friends.
Hey, when are you finally going to get... When are you going to finally get your show on GSU's radio station?
Possibly as soon as this spring. Look out, Atlanta.
Woo!
Yeah! 100,000 watts, the most powerful student-operated radio station in North America, and they're going to let me behind the mic.
Grandpa still wants you.
What?
Grandpa still wants you.
Is she cute?
No.
Who's Rampway?
Rampway.
Rampway.
Rampway.org, GSU Online Student Magazine.
Oh, okay.
Write that down.
Okay, who's got the microphone?
While he's grabbing a pen, one last point.
Obviously, he's
I get my jollies out of competing in tomorrow's robot, Monday's robot battle here at Dragon Con. So.
His basement has about 30 robots in it, most of them only half put together.
The name of the bot is the Vorpal Platypus.
Go Platypus! Woo!
James is also the king of Red Dwarf. If any of you
James,
are Red Dwarf
your
fans.
Nemesis is back again this year.
Oh, good. I have a chainsaw.
That makes it
He has a titanium spinning blade.
It'll come off very nicely.
And we can watch this tomorrow.
Besides wearing a dress and hacking, I have lots of fish.
Yeah. Some of them are even not in the freezer.
I work on old Volkswagens. I'm an Eagle Scout, believe it or not. I go camping.
The sorrow of the scouting organization.
He can be a scout, but he can't be a scout leader.
I go camping out with my friends all this. I have like 3,000 hobbies. Oh, and I drive Johnny X down here. Spent the last year trying to drive him insane. And just,
that was
you
a
know,
short putt.
Found out that it was
I was
too late.
Already insane.
Yeah, found out I was too late.
Hug Me can be a scout leader. He's a raving heterosexual.
Raving, yes.
Flaming heterosexual.
Sorry.
Just add lighter.
Yeah, other fun hobbies. Screw around with now that you know I'm gainfully employed again, although I'm not sure this is really, well, yeah, it's gainfully employed. It is porn, but it's gainfully employed. Amateur high-powered rocketry. Y'all ever mess around with you know the little rockets and you can get the motors to go from A to D? The motors actually go up to about R. And
legally.
actually, they do go beyond that.
You got to get FAA clearance and take certification classes before you can launch stuff that big. But, you know, hey, yeah, one of the goals is let's get an amateur satellite into orbit by the 50th anniversary of Sputnik.
I wonder what they rate the shuttle at.
Hey, what's the deal with the guy who wants to launch from the Utah flats and spend about a few minutes in space and then come down?
God bless him if he can pull it off and doesn't blow up spectacularly. And even if he does, I hope they get it on film because it'll look cool.
Amen. How many people in the audience have heard of the X Prize? Yeah, I mean, if you're not aware, basically this is kind of like the prize Lindbergh got, but to get into orbit. And really, this is probably, that's the spirit of hacking right there in terms of, you know, let's throw some money out there. Let's try and get people to get crazy in creative ways and get a cheap Earth to orbit lift system working.
So the first place gets an X Prize, the second place gets an Xbox.
How many of you have the SETI at home screensaver on your computer? How many of you know that you can take the old C-band satellite TV dishes, you know, the real big old dishes, basically hook them up to your computer with a little homebrew equipment that you can get plans for off the internet, and you can actually look for space aliens yourself? Amateur radio astronomy. Yes, this is the stuff Carl Sagan was into. This is not crackpot UFO stuff. This is serious science. SETIleague.org.
Okay.
Talking of satellite dishes, if you happen to have a spare Primestar dish rusting in the backyard somewhere, come to the wireless panel tomorrow.
Yeah. We were asked to kind of wrap this up a little early, so I'm going to try and give it back to the audience to ask some questions now. So who's got the
mic? That's what 201's for. Be here tomorrow night. Free beer if you got a good question.
Bud Light if you don't.
It's worse than Bud Light. It's Milwaukee Light.
Served overhand.
I've seen okay. you throw...
Question,
just
question.
Yell into the mic.
If you come across a weakness in a system unintentionally, how can you report it to the people who should be supervising the system without, first of all, get them to actually listen to you, and secondly, not get yourself in trouble for it?
Research the problem after you find it. See if you can find any other paperwork and other people who found it, and present that paperwork to your supervisors.
Or
not just
anonymously and say, fix it, or it goes public in 2 weeks.
Anonymous emailers come in real handy.
I hate to
then.
Say this, but given the current legal and social climate, I would say forget about it and try and destroy all evidence you were ever there.
Just see if you can find some way of getting them to find it without giving them any idea that you know it's there.
I just found a pretty big problem with Wachovia.
I've been to Wachovia!
hey, keep it down.
Not anymore.
Basically,
that was your account, eh?
Most of the Wachovia is the way the drive-through. The drive-through is the one room that everything is in. All of the tellers for the drive-through are in. Well, the Wachovia microphones and speakers aren't that great, so the tellers yell into the microphones. I went into setting up an account with someone else, and within 15 minutes, I got 2 Social Security numbers and 3 account numbers. I wrote a formal letter to the security team at Wachovia, which I found their email address on their website. I also went and looked at their stock information and got the email address of their CEO, their CSO, their CFO, their CIO, and a bunch of other people, and sent them all emails explaining what it is. And I had a real nice phone call. I basically said, here's the problem. I have some fixes for them. I can tell you, you know, some ways you can do it. And I'm going to be releasing this in 2 weeks.
Fortunately, this did not involve a computer. Otherwise, he'd be in jail now.
No, actually, this is the way all there are several places that do this. HackSec, Cult of the Dead Cow, all the hacker groups do this. You write a formal presentation. This is what happened. This is how I found it. It gets released in 2 weeks, and they will either call and say, "Hey, we're fixing the problem." When the problem was found with the power system for the entire West Coast of the United States, and it was was one of the big. It wasn't HackSec. It was one of the bigger groups that found this. They basically wrote them a note, and they got a note back saying, please, please give us 3 weeks. We can't possibly fix this in two. And they gave them three. Well, I got a call back from Wachovia. They said, hey, we know about the problem now. You know, here's what we're trying to do to fix it. And I gave them some suggestions and things like that. And, yeah, that was it. So it does work. If you get a hold of the company and tell them and explain what you're doing, you'll get a call back. Make sure you tell them in 2 weeks you're releasing this publicly. It's kind of important.
If they do call back, make sure you tell them that your friend Lothar's account was missing two zeros at the end.
That before or after the decimal?
Just remember that Shoot the Messenger is still a very popular pastime.
Yeah. Scott, how much time we got left?
Cool.
Two more questions.
Let's try to get more questions than
that. Hands. Come on,
hacking is supposed to be fun. Here's an example right here. This is another definition of hacking. MIT, fun hacks, pranks, amusing things, taking the big dome on the MIT campus and making it look like R2-D2. Yeah, that's cool. What? Yeah, they got a... Well, it wasn't a real police car. They bought an old car. They sawed it up carefully with a chainsaw, reassembled it on the roof, and they thought it was a campus police car that they had put on top of the dome. Yes, indeed. I personally like the telephone booth they had up there that they ran the wire up to, and when the maintenance guy came up to look it over and find the instructions to take it down, the phone rang. Caltech's got a bunch of good ones, too. I think probably the best one that I've seen from Caltech is they took a bunch of black and white sheets and went to the Hollywood letters and draped them over the Hollywood letters to spell out Caltech. He was involved with that? Oh, dude, that was one of the best pranks ever.
Nice hat.
There are books documenting the long, long, and wonderfully interesting history of pranks at both Caltech and MIT. And you can just hit the bookstores online and order them. I highly recommend them. Some of the most entertaining reading I've ever seen.
Johnny X has probably the largest book collection you'll ever see for one person. He has two libraries.
All right, I had to get two 15-foot rental trucks just to get the books and the bookshelves into the new place.
I'm a graduate student
two trips,
and friends
I'm
with
sorry.
Him for a reason. That's why.
Yeah, there's the car.
Okay, where's the mic?
Oh, I have it. Johnny X.
Yes, sir.
Do they need another programmer at your job?
Yes.
Gotta love the recession-proof porn industry.
Yeah, I love it. I was in the Atlanta Cisco study group, and Cisco certification, by the way, seems to be a pretty good way to help ensure that you stay employed. But I haven't been able to go to the study group meetings recently because, well, my job conflicts with when they meet. But the last meeting I went to, I told them, hey, I'm employed. Here's my job. I had a bunch of people put resumes in my hand that night and say, please, if you need anybody, if you ever think you'll need anybody, give them my resume.
More hands?
Oh, come on. Someone's got a question.
People have questions. You always do.
You've got questions. We've got answers. We've got Scooby snacks,
no
too.
No subject is forbidden.
I will answer anything. Come
Have
on.
Have you guys ever crossed the line and hacked any network, you know, public, private, physical or not, that you thought, oh, I shouldn't have done that, but, I mean, was it worth it?
First of all, we're sitting up here being recorded. Oh, yeah, we're going to tell you everything we've ever
USA
done.
USA Patriot is now law. It's retroactive. Sorry. Get us drunk so we can do plausible deniability. And
I'll tell you the story of me and CIA.gov sometime.
Okay, she's got one.
She does have the remote.
Yeah. One, do you have a free power outlet up there somewhere? Two, do you have a free Ethernet plug up there somewhere?
No Ethernet.
Power. Three, can I play with the sign now?
No.
You'll have to do that tomorrow night.
Yes, but you have to crawl up under the table to find it.
You can play
and we
with
better all be smiling when you crawl back out.
You can play You can play with the sign only if everybody who actually wanted to write down the code stuff has gotten a chance to write it down, although I'll have it at Hacking 201 tomorrow as well. Any objections? Have fun. Next.
He's running way in the back.
Happy, happy, joy, joy.
This is for Johnny and everybody. In regard to social engineering, what do some of you guys think about these script kiddies now and how they represent your...
They kick their fucking asses, man.
That's the anti-hero, buddy.
Yeah, it's an, I mean, it's an obvious answer, but I want to know, as far as social engineering, what you guys are kind of doing from the inside to eliminate that aspect.
One-on-one, if possible, or maybe through forums like this, say, look, dude, there's a lot more interesting things to do than sit there, you know, whacking off to IRC going, ha-ha, I kicked you out of my channel.
Elite Hacksaw.
You know, in general, I hope they grow out of it and get girlfriends or something because, you know, as widespread as computers and the internet are nowadays, this is, you know, it's... There's a lot of script kiddies out there. It's just a power trip for them. Maybe they don't have power in other places in their life to grow out of it. They don't care about computers. The ones who are salvageable, who are really interested in it, hopefully we'll reach them through events like this or some of the local cons or 2600 meetings, Linux user group meetings, stuff like that.
And if they really don't want to listen and they just want to be little punks about it and they just really get cute, I like to hit them with the fact that they're talking to a 38-year-old mother, and I know their mother, and I'm going to tell. You would believe.
another
cattle prods are good too.
Another possibility is I work with a group online on IRC because I hate this the script kiddies, the packet warriors as we call them on IRC. We go out and we actually deal directly with the IRC admins, IRC ops. We are a bunch of senior admins. Some of these people have been around since the 56K connections that went from university to university when it was DARPANET. We get together with these groups and these organizations or companies that set these things up and deal with the law enforcement because a lot of these people don't know what's going on. We deal with it directly. So we fight back on their own territories.
Yeah, a lot of these guys in this group are actually asking... asking for help from these guys because they are cops hanging out in channels that need to be watched in their opinions, a lot of the kiddie porn and things like that. So they have people sitting in there and they'll call the people in to kind of help out. So
my other favorite comment is, did you hack Windows or did it fall over by itself?
One comment I do want to make, you mentioned kiddie porn. Yeah, despite working in the adult entertainment industry, we go after kiddie porn people big time. We don't tolerate that shit, and nobody legitimate will.
Even Sealand, the offshore ISP, the hosting company, they actually have two things they say they will not host. One of that happens to be kiddie porn.
Is the other bestiality?
The other is my site.
As an example of script kiddies in high school, I don't know if, since I'm fairly recently out of high school still, there are some people who thought they were elite because they could run AOL scripts and kick their friends offline or, you know, open up whatever. They thought they could use backwards to open up somebody's CD-ROM, you know. But I did happen to be able to change some people's opinion I knew, a couple are still in high school. From looking at me, it's like, you know, I don't need to do any of that stuff. You know, I get paid to do it. You know, I get paid to keep people out for a living. You know, I get paid to do stuff legally, which they would get thrown in jail for, sort of stuff, you know.
What does it say?
What?
Let us see it. What does that say?
Ferret.
Whee!
Happy?
Happy?
Alt hamster duct tape. Sorry, alt sex hamster duct tape.
How many of y'all are local here to Atlanta? All right, we'd better see you at Inner Zone. How many of you are within reasonable driving distance of Nashville?
If you're from Atlanta,
Atlanta is reasonable, okay? We'd better see you at Freaknik 6.
Yeah. Hey, it takes me 1 hour to get across town and 2 hours to get to Nashville.
We'll provide rides, really. Caravan. Flyers on the table back there. Yeah, go to the con. Bring your friends.
For Freaknik,
ask
join
about
the
stories.
Join the email list at se2600.org because we build a caravan that usually leaves Southern Tech, and we just drive up as a group.
I want you to know I'm really excited about Freaknik 6 this year because I don't have to organize the motherfucker. I get to enjoy it for once.
Some of us have ambitions on that caravan of putting together the world's largest mobile wireless network.
Yeah,
doesn't the thought of having a bunch of geeks quake at, you know, sort of 70 on the interstate appeal? The ones that aren't driving, okay?
70?
Well, by the time you've added in the UPSs and the servers and everything else, they're a little heavy.
Yeah, I'm thinking more like let's have a kind of like a mobile radio station going here, sharing MP3s, maybe broadcasting stuff too, and file sharing at 80 miles an hour.
Well, what happened to the old game? What happened to the old game of making bets as to whether my bus would make it up the hill or not?
That's for the adventurous drivers.
That's still going.
Speaking of mobile networking, I have a question. Over here. Hypothetically, this came up on a Slashdot conversation. Do you know if it would be legal to have an 802.11 network going on an airplane? Hmm. Like on an airliner? Basically, you're talking about...
No,
you know,
it's not.
Legal? No.
It's way outside the broadcast power, and it's on a frequency that's not supposed to be live inside an airplane. Yeah. Works,
not to mention there would be other there would be other issues to be dealing with, including the interruption of a lot of the communication equipment that would be in the cockpit.
Let me put it this way: do you really want to cause disruption on an airplane while you're in the airplane?
just stick with war flying, and you'll be fine.
Actually, the frequencies are way different. It won't cause it wouldn't cause. You're talking gigahertz of difference in frequency.
Harmonics and a lot of the beacons don't work at the gigahertz frequency.
You want to try it? Please tell me which flight you're going to be on beforehand.
No, I figured I would just ask you guys.
We'll arrange a bail fund.
Yes. Speaking of, I'm actually glad you brought this up because it's something I wanted to talk about. It's a huge thing that's happening in the computer world right now. 802.11b, everybody's putting in hubs and getting internet connections. Start walking around with your 802.11b card and hopping on networks. There's actually a group in Texas that puts the 802.11b hubs around their city, and anybody can go on and get it for free. They're trying to outlaw this. Giving out free internet.
Starbucks doesn't like the competition.
Yeah, it's
nothing
it
personal,
Starbucks,
Elizabeth.
It is actually it. Starbucks and a company called T-Mobile that's running the Starbucks networks that are trying to outlaw doing this. But start doing it. Put a hub up in your house and let everybody around your house get free internet. Eventually, we're going to get so many people.
You may want to keep the computer that you do all your financial stuff on a separate network, just not connected to anything else.
Don't put it on the wireless.
Yeah, but I mean, you think
choose
about
your service
it, if we
provider
all get...
carefully as well if you do this, because it's actually against the terms of service of a lot of DSL and cable modem providers, and they will shut you down.
Well,
they
as long
don't
as you
ha-
can maintain
have
plausible
to provide
reliability.
We've got time for one more question.
So make it a good one.
God damn it. Are you familiar with the RF?
Somebody can't get the porn.
1-800-PORN is calling.
Are you familiar with the RF antenna project, the HARP near Fairbanks, Alaska, and what's your opinion on that?
Repeat again.
The HARP, High Frequency Auroral Research Project. It manipulates ions in the ionosphere from about 20 miles up to the core of the Earth.
What was the question?
I was wondering if you were familiar with the project. It's an RF antenna located.
Yeah, big antenna array.
Yeah.
The subject of much paranoid conspiracy theory. It's probably a military project of some sort, but I don't think it talks to the orbital mind control lasers.
Yeah, thanks.
That's what the aluminum hat is for.
That may have come out wrong. I didn't mean to imply anything towards you. So, there's a lot of conspiracy stuff around it, and I think, it probably is something classified going on with it, but I don't think it's conspiracy stuff.
I was looking up in Anchorage when
So what happened?
Did the Northern Lights suddenly get a hallucinogenic twinge?
Yeah, they're trying to sell ad space on the Auroras.
Oh, God. Dude, don't tip them off.
Extends. As long as it doesn't say Intel Inside, I'm okay.
Or buy X10 cameras.
I have issues with the weather control stuff. I'm not, you know, a math major or anything, but read some of the basics on chaos theory, especially as it relates to weather. That would be really hard to control.
As long as you don't get seizures from looking up at the Northern Lights, it's probably okay.
Right. Hacking 201 tomorrow night, 10:30.
Be there. Free beer.
Woohoo! Bring your technical questions.
Hell, bring your tech.